This morning, I want to talk to you, as you can see, part two on the compassion of the Lord. I just want to build our faith in this because sometimes people have a wrong view of God. They see God is out to get them. They sometimes, I'll tell you, there are some Christian groups even that see God almost equal to the devil as far as they accuse God of doing all the evil things. They think God is responsible for all the evil as well as for all the good. And they have a wrong perspective of God. And so we want to begin to just look at and get into our hearts more and more that our God is a compassionate God. And if there's any one thing that we could do to describe God, we would say that God is love, and compassion sometimes is defined as love in motion. Love in motion is sometimes how compassion is described. I'm going to do a little bit of review, and then we're going to launch off from here. And it's not going to take a long time because all of you know I can kick it into fifth gear, and I can get this done really fast. Amen? And so if I talk fast, you listen fast, and we'll get it all done. Is that all right? Amen. Just to start off with a little bit of review here concerning this, remember Psalm 86 and verse 15. But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion. Everybody say full of compassion. Full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. And so I want to just say this to you in the context of all of that, that sometimes we have to understand, you know, faith is important. We have faith in God. But you know, the more we recognize His compassion, that He is full of compassion, He's full of mercy, He's full of graciousness, which is another form of grace. You know, faith is not a problem when we understand more and more how compassionate and gracious our God is. You understand that, right? Amen. And so going on with some of this as well, Psalm 111 in verse 4, He has made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Now again, what does compassion mean? As I shared with you, again, this is review. You know how I review, though. A lot of times I review and then I add some, right? And so I may be some adding some things as well. But what is compassion? The Hebrew word, rakim, and I'm not a Hebrew scholar, and I believe that's how you pronounce it, but it helps us to know the Hebrew word because sometimes we have the same or we have different English words for what is the same Hebrew or Greek word. But it primarily denotes a deep, tender compassion or mercy, often akin to the love a parent has for a child. It is used to describe God's compassionate nature and His merciful actions towards humanity. In the Old Testament, that Hebrew word is frequently associated with God's covenantal love and His willingness to forgive and restore His people. I mean, God is just, if you will, He is just so impassioned with compassion. He desires to pour out His love on God, on His people. And it's so important that we understand that He's not withholding His love. He's not withholding His compassion. But sometimes God's people are resistant to His compassion. And one reason why, or one way they are, is because they don't believe in it. They don't have faith in it. They don't trust God's compassion. But notice the thing I want to point out again with this is it's a word that is used for parental kind of compassion. A normal parent, a parent that is not twisted in any way, a normal parent has compassion for their child. Amen? And then going on with this, in the ancient Hebrew culture, the concept of mercy was deeply intertwined with familial relationships and community life. Let me pause there. The word mercy and the word compassion are sometimes the way the same word, Hebrew or Greek, is translated. So sometimes mercy is the same as compassion. And for our purposes, we're going to leave it as such. And so notice now, the term, again, as we go on, rakim, all right, is related to the Hebrew word for womb, like a mother's womb, suggesting a nurturing, protective, and life-giving love. This imagery reflects the intimate and caring nature of God's relationship with His people, as well as the expectation that His followers would exhibit similar compassion towards others. And so, as most of you probably are aware, God is compassionate. He's a compassionate and gracious God. And for those of you who are believers in Christ, we're called to reflect His compassion to others. Isn't that right? Thank you for that underwhelming response, but nevertheless, it's true. Ephesians chapter 5 says, in the first couple of verses, it says, be imitators of God as dear children. Then it says, walk in love. Again, remembering that compassion is sometimes described as love in action. Love in action. Now, notice now, this idea of it being used for the word womb, the mother's womb. Notice what, as we shared this last week, but again, we're setting the stage for what we want to delve into a little bit this morning as well. Notice Isaiah 49, 13 through 16. 16 reads this way, shout for joy, O sky. Rejoice, O earth, let the mountains give a joyful shout, for the Lord consoles or comforts his people and shows compassion to the oppressed. Zion said, the Lord has abandoned me. The Lord has forgotten me. Now remember, at this particular time, you know, Isaiah was a prophet to Judah, that portion of Israel, if you will, to Judah as they were captives to the Babylonians at that particular time. And so they might have thought, well, God has abandoned me. God has forgotten about me. But notice this. God says through the prophet, can a woman forget her baby who nurses at her breast? Can she withhold compassion from the child she has born? Even if mothers were to forget, I could never forget you. Look, I have inscribed your name on my palms. Your walls are constantly before me. The walls being the walls of Jerusalem being broken down. But the point is this, that God says, I could never forget you. If it was true of Israel, it is true of you and me as well. Again, under a better covenant than even Israel had. God says to you today, I dare say, because this applies to you and me. God says to you today, though mothers might even forget, I will never forget you. I will never abandon you. I will never leave you or forsake you, God says to us in other portions of Scripture. And so we need to always keep that in mind, because you know what? Sometimes we feel like God is so far away. Sometimes we feel he's distant. But I want you to know that no matter how we feel, we're not moved by how we feel. We're not moved by what we see. We're not moved by our senses. We're moved by what his word declares. And his word declares, I will never forget you. I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you, he says repeatedly to the people of God. Amen? Say this with me. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. I will not be moved by how I feel or what I see. I am only moved by what God declares in his word, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Grab a hold of that. Hang on to that. And again, live by that fact that he is not only with you, he is within you by his Spirit if you are born of the Spirit. Amen. Now, again, as I said, in my reviews, I add a lot. And so part of the review was also from John 1, 1 through 5, and then 14 through 18, where it talks about, first of all, in the first couple of verses, it says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And it said in verse 14 after that, it says in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And so again, the idea is Christ is the living Word, Christ who always was, never had a beginning. He was already in the beginning, and he took upon himself flesh in order so that he might dwell amongst us. And in dwelling amongst us, the Bible says in Hebrews that he is a faithful and sympathetic high priest. He is a faithful and sympathetic high priest. Why? Well, one main reason why is because he came and dwelt. He clothed himself in flesh. God became a man, clothed himself in flesh. In fact, the Bible even says in Hebrews 4 and verse 15 that he was tempted in every way you and I are tempted, yet without sin. But because of that, he is what? He is touched, it says, in Hebrews 4:15, he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He understands. He understands what you and I go through. He understands what you might be going through right now. He understands your weaknesses. He understands your hurts. He understands the struggles that you might be going through. He understands. Think about even he, as he walked on earth as the God-man, but yet in his humanity, he suffered so many things. He suffered abandonment. You know, everybody forsook him at one point, right? He suffered beatings. He suffered persecution. He suffered people talking wrong about him, lying about him, and all of this, saying you are of your death. You do these works by the power of Beelzebub, the devil. I mean, they accused him. They rejected him. They went through all sorts of things. He went through so many things. He did it by his own choice, because of his love for humanity. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me here today? And so we talked about much of that. Notice what John 1 and verse 18 says, the NET Bible, New English Translation, says, no one has ever seen God. The only one himself, God, is in closest fellowship with the Father, has made God known. And then I gave you from the New Living Translation, it reads this way, verse 18 of John 1, no one has ever seen God, but the unique one, who is himself God, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. Think about that. Jesus came in part in order so that he might reveal God to us. And so when you think about this, think about his ministry on the earth. For those 3.5 years, think about for those 3.5 years as he walked on the earth, the God-man, he walked on the earth, and we were going to describe what his main ministry was. He preached the kingdom of God. He preached the word. He taught the word of God. He healed the sick, and he cast out demons. I mean, those four things are, in a nutshell, what Jesus did. So every time he preached, he was representing God the Father. Every time he taught, he was doing it because he saw or heard what the Father taught. Every time he healed the sick, he was carrying out the will of God and saying, God's will is for you to be healed. When he cast out demons, he was carrying out again what the Father's will was. He said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Isn't that right? And so if you want to know God, if you want to know what God is like, then you need to look and see what Jesus was like when he walked on that earth. And you can read about that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as it is described about his life and what he did. He came to reveal God to you and me. And that is all encompassed with compassion. He preached the word out of compassion. He taught the word out of compassion. He healed the sick out of compassion. He cast out demons because he had compassion. Is everybody with me here? And has he any less compassion today? You know, to suggest, as some do, that the day of miracles is past, or the days of healing are past, all of that, the day of the supernatural workings of God is past. To say that is to suggest that God is less compassionate today than he was when he did those things. I don't know about you, I reject that thought. Jesus said, or it said about Jesus, I am the same. It says Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13:8, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I like to emphasize today. Everybody say today. Jesus Christ, the same today. Well, then let's find out how he was yesterday to find out how he is the same today. Isn't that right? Amen. And the way he is or was is the same way that he is. So he still heals the sick, sets people free, ministers to those that might be demon oppressed or obsessed or possessed. He's still the deliverer today. Amen. Why? Because he has no less compassion today than he ever had. Amen. And then in John 4:34, as I've already kind of mentioned, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And for I have come down, in John 6:38, from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Now, I mentioned to you that there are three specific difficulties that we see in the scripture where it specifically says that Jesus moved with compassion. And the first one was he had compassion for the people when he saw they were like a sheep without a shepherd. And you know, there's more to that than what I even shared. I mean, even the idea of those that are lost, that don't know God at all, that are on their way to heaven. How many of you know he has compassion for them? He doesn't see them as a problem. He doesn't see them as the enemy. He sees them as those that are lost, like sheep without a shepherd. And he wants to give them that knowing that they can come out of that lostness and be saved. Amen. By putting faith in what Jesus Christ has done. I shared with you as fellow believers, the majority of us, if not all of us, the fact that many times we might have confusion or we might not know the direction to go in life. He has compassion for that, and he wants to give us direction. He wants us not to be filled with confusion. And it is, as I was thinking about that as well, you know, sometimes, you know, we don't understand things that happen. We don't understand things that happen, and we're in confusion in our mind. We wonder, well, why did that happen? Why did this happen? Why did that happen to that person? Why did this happen or not happen to that other person and all that? I want you to know that Jesus has compassion when we're confused and don't know what's going on. And I believe in his timing and his way, if it's our business, he'll give us the answers to the whys. Is everybody with me here today? If we'll trust him, and trust him in those times when we don't understand. Trust him in those times when we're confused. Trust him that at the right time, in the right place, if it's our business, that he's going to show us and reveal to us the answers to those questions. Amen? I remember when I was young, a young pastor, fresh out of Bible school, I remember I thought I had this idea that I had to know all the answers to all the whys. It didn't take long for me to give up that whole idea. Because I'm not going to know the answers to all the whys. But we know the one who does have the answers to all the whys. Isn't that right? Amen. He's got all the answers. And so my encouragement to people is this. Don't run from the God who has the answers just because you don't know why. Run to the God who has the answers. And in his timing, if he sees fit, he'll show you why. Are you hearing me here today? Amen. Amen. Let's move on from here. The second thing we know from last time that he has compassion for is provision. Remember, he said, I have compassion on the people because they've been 3 days with me now and they have nothing to eat. And so he told his disciples to feed them. And of course, he took the small lunch of the little boy and he multiplied it and everybody there ate. And then thirdly, Matthew 14:14 and other places, it says he moved with compassion and he healed all who were sick. All who are sick. So we have sheep without a shepherd. We have provision. We have healed. And there's many, many more things. But those are the ones that specifically say he moved with compassion about that. Is everybody with me here? All right. Now, today, I want to focus on this compassion of the Lord and healing. I want to deal with some of this and build it into us. Because as I've said over the years, periodically, I've said this, that I don't think faith is the problem when people don't receive healing. I think sometimes, not always, there's just mystery. You know, Deuteronomy 29:29 says the secret things belong to the Lord, right? And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says that right now we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part is going to be done away. And that which is perfect that is coming is the Lord Jesus Christ. So right now we look through a glass darkly, but then face to face, right? And so there's some things we don't understand, but one of the things that is a reason that sometimes we're hindered from receiving healing in our bodies is because we really need more and more, and I think all of us could use this, I could use this, we need more and more revelation of God's compassion and God's love toward us. Because faith works by love, amen? Faith works by love. And so as we delve into this a little bit, I think that we'll see it even more than we've seen before. And so, you know, again, with this, you know, kind of related to this, you know, how many of you know that Jesus on the cross and in his resurrection, he brought forgiveness of sin and freedom from the power of sin. Would you agree with that? Not only forgiveness, but freedom from the power of sin. Romans 6 makes that real clear. So you and I are free from the power of sin, aren't we? According to Scripture. Now, since you've been free from the power of sin, how many of you have sinned? Don't raise your hand. But since you've been freed from the power of sin, every believer has sinned. And if you say that you haven't, you just sinned. Because you lied, right? Well, you know, in a similar way, how many of you know that on the cross and in his resurrection, he also purchased our healing. Isn't that right? And so people say, well, if he purchased our healing, how come we get sick? Well, you know, just like all of us get tempted to sin, all of us get tempted to get sick. Isn't that right? Because we live in this fallen world. But the point is, we're still redeemed from both, and we're set free from both, and so we got to contend for it and fight the good fight of faith. And even if we get attacked, bless God, I'm not quitting, I'm not giving up, I'm fighting in Jesus' name. Amen? Is everybody hearing me? All right, and so that's important for us to understand as well. Now, Ken Blue, in his book, Authority to Heal, now, he has a little bit different perspective on some things. I'm not necessarily any of the books that I quote from. Don't think I agree with the entire book. There's only one book I agree 100% with, and that's called the Bible. Amen? But when I give you the quote, it's usually a good quote. So he said this in his book, Authority to Heal. He said, Jesus acts exactly as his Father in heaven acts. Remember, I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me, right? And so Jesus acts exactly as his Father in heaven acts. He does only what he sees his Father doing. As he does, he shows us that God indeed wills to heal the sick. A major element in his willingness to heal the sick is his what? Compassion. Is his compassion. Now, if you have a Bible with you or a Bible app, if you'd open it up to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Are you getting anything out of this today? And I'm watching the time, so don't you check the time. I'm watching the time. Matthew chapter 20. If you're there, say yes. Notice now, beginning with verse 31, it's up on the screen for those that may not have a Bible, but it's important that you see it in your own Bible or on your Bible app. Notice what it reads. It says, and behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." Now remember, mercy and compassion are very much similar words, very synonymous, sometimes with the same Greek word. This is New Testament, so it'll be Greek word. And notice, as they heard Jesus was coming, even though they were blind, they said, "Lord, have mercy." They could have said, it could have been translated, "Have compassion on us. Have compassion on us." And then it goes on. It says, "Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet. But they cried out all the more, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David.' So Jesus stood still and called them and said, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And they said to him, 'Lord, that our eyes may be opened.' So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him." Now notice, now I gave this quote last week, but that's all right. It bears repetition because you know what? If I gave a quiz right now as to, relating to last week's message, I think most of you might fail that quiz. Repetition's important, isn't it? Even in school, repetition's important. So notice now, this quote, "Why then does Jesus heal? Because he loves. And as the Son of God, the love that moves him to heal is also a reflection of the love of the Father, because he can do only what he sees his Father doing," John 5:19. Ultimately, then, Jesus' healing ministry is rooted in the fellowship of the Trinity. Out of the overflow of the love of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the triune God works to restore the brokenness of creation. Healing flows out of divine love and compassion. Certainly, healing is an expression of God's power, but it's more about God's love than about God's power. Amen? Amen. Lord, give us a greater revelation of your love toward us. Amen? And then Ken Blue again in his book said this, "The gospel writers state that Jesus healed people because he loved them. Very simply, he had compassion for them. He was on their side. He wanted to solve their problems. God himself is distressed by our plight, and his emotional response is powerful. Mighty acts of rescue, healing, and deliverance flow from his compassion." And see, again, this applies to you and me. I want you to know that he is concerned about your plight. He is concerned about your health. He's concerned about your life. And he has compassion for you. Now, if you have a Bible, Mark chapter 1. We want to read this as well. Are you getting anything out of this today? I encourage you to take these scriptures. Meditate on them. You know, the Bible talks about meditating on the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God, speaking the Word of God, getting them on the inside of you. Amen? We're talking about the compassion of the Lord. I can't think of a more important subject than the compassion of the Lord. Is everybody here? Mark chapter 1, beginning with verse 40. It's up on the screen for those that don't have a Bible. It says, "Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus," what? "Moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I'm willing, be cleansed.' As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed." I mean, you know, the man, the leper, he was not necessarily convinced of Jesus' willingness. He was convinced of his ability. I want you to think about this for a moment. Just believing that God is able is not enough to receive healing, then, is it? Because a lot of people, most people say, "Oh, God's able." Most people probably say, if they believe in God, God's able to do anything. Isn't that right? But the issue is not, is God able? The issue is God willing? And then the issue is God willing to heal me? Not just willing to heal somebody else. And, you know, sometimes it's harder for ourselves because we know our own frailties. We know our own faults. We know our own shortcomings so well. Sometimes it's hard for us to believe that God is willing to heal or to set us free. But I want you to know, did you deserve to be forgiven of your sin? In the same way you and I did not deserve to be forgiven of our sin, we also do not deserve to be healed of our sickness. But yet in the same way that God delivers us or saves us and forgives us of our sin in spite of ourselves, in the same way, he wants us healed in spite of whether we deserve it or not, because we're never going to deserve it. It's all by the grace, graciousness, kindness, and compassion of God. Amen? Is everybody with me here? Amen. And so stop trying to deserve it. As I've said oftentimes, I don't know about you, I deserve hell. But the message of the gospel is, it's not about what we deserve, thank God. Jesus took the wrath of God upon himself. He took the punishment and the judgment upon himself. He took what we deserved so we could be forgiven and set free. Amen? Aren't you glad? That's in a nutshell, the message of this gospel, this good news. Now, again, Ken Blue, I don't want to overdo it with him, but he had some good things to say. It says in Mark 1, 40 through 41, that's what we just read, we find a man who embodies all the physical, social, and spiritual disintegration of a sinful world. At this sight, Jesus is overwrought with compassion. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I'm willing. He said, be clean. This intensely emotive language describing Jesus and therefore God is not peculiar to the gospel writers. The entire New Testament witnesses to the truth that God's heart is moved for us and his power is near to us in our distress. The Spirit himself, writes Paul, intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Romans 8 and verse 26. Now, I want you to write this scripture down. We're not going to take time to go through it because I'm about out of time. We want the people in the nursery to be willing to continue to do the nursery when we need them to do the nursery. And so, you know, I'm kidding anyway because they love those babies. I know that for sure. But write this down and read this on your own, and you're going to see some great things. Luke chapter 7, 12 through 16. And I'm just going to skip to the last part of this. And if you have a Bible, turn to Psalm 103. Actually, you don't even have to turn there. You know why? Because we're going to read it together up on the screen, and then we're going to close. Is everybody okay? All right, we're going to read it together on the screen from the New Living Translation. But I encourage you to write down the passage and look it up in your own Bible or Bible app later and memorize it if you can. At least memorize the first three verses. It'd be beneficial for you. But let's read this together. Is everybody ready? All right, this is from the New Living Translation. This is a Psalm of David. Let's read it together. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise His holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. He revealed His character to Moses and His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For His unfailing love toward those who fear Him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to His children, tender and compassionate to those who fear Him. You know, David wrote this, a man under the old covenant. You and I, as I've already stated, Hebrews 8:6 says that we have a better covenant with better promises. If these promises were true for David, they are so much more true for you and me as well. That He forgives us of our sins. He heals us of our diseases. That He delivers us from destruction. That our youth is renewed like the eagles. For those that reverence God, fear God, reverence God, stand in awe of God, the promises of God are for those. And notice it says, as far as the east is from the west, the Lord has removed our sins from us. You know, people wonder about that, but think about that for a minute. It's not north and south. Why? Because do you realize if you head north long enough, eventually you're going to go over the hill, so to speak, and you're going to start heading south. Isn't that right? And so how many of you know north and south eventually will meet? But east and west never meet. They never meet. You go east, you're going to go east. You're going to continue to go east. You go west, you're going to always go west. And so as far as the east is from the west, so God has removed our sins from us. Amen? Amen. Stand with me if you would. If you believe this, say this with me. Father God, I thank You that You are gracious, that You are kind, You are merciful, and You are compassionate. I thank You, Father, that because of all of this, You have forgiven me of my sin. You have provided healing for my body. You have provided deliverance for my soul. I thank You, Father, that in Jesus' name, I am free. Because who the Son sets free is free indeed. I rebuke sin. I rebuke sickness. I rebuke addiction. I rebuke bondage. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare that I am more than a conqueror. I am an overcomer, not because I deserve it, but because of the grace, the mercy, and the compassion of Almighty God. In Jesus' name, let's give Him thanks here today. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Let's stay in an attitude of reverence toward the Lord right now. And we never want to end a service without this opportunity. If you're here today and you've never received that forgiveness, that's the most important thing, is being in right standing with God by receiving forgiveness of sin that has been provided for every person who will receive what Jesus has done for them. The Bible says everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I've sinned and you've sinned. We've all sinned. We've all broken God's law. And because we've broken the law of God, we're guilty. And because we're guilty, we deserve punishment. We deserve judgment. But as I've already said to you, by the grace of God, we don't have to get what we deserve because Jesus bore it for us so we could be forgiven. He's a forgiving, gracious, compassionate God. And so if you're here today and you've never given your life to Him, I encourage you to do that. There's no better life to live. I did that when I was 12 years old, and I'm just a little bit older than that today. But there's been no regrets, no regrets. And so if you're here and that applies to you, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you come up. But we're all going to pray together. But it's important that you let God see that your heart is, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Lest there be even one here today you've never received, and today's your day. Tomorrow could be too late. You can't earn your way. It's all by the grace of God. It's a gift that He gives and provides for us, the gift of eternal life. Is there anybody at all you'd like to be sure that you're forgiven and that you're right with God? Anybody at all? I'm not seeing any hands, but let's pray this prayer, all of us. I see one hand. I believe you've already accepted the Lord, but that's all right. We're going to pray anyway. It's all right. Let's pray this prayer. If you believe it, say it with me. God in heaven, I thank you that Jesus Christ died for me so I could be forgiven. Today I confess Jesus is my Lord. I turn from sin and I turn to you, Lord. I surrender my life to you. I believe with all my heart that not only did you die, but you rose from the dead. So Jesus, come into my life today. Take my life, make it what you will. And with your help, from this day forward, I will live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God thanks. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God.
We hope that you enjoyed this message and that you were truly blessed by it. If you would like to support the ministry of Abounding Grace Christian Church, there are three ways to give. If you'd like to give online, go to our website, agcc.church, and look for the green tab on the top that says Give Online. You can also text to give by texting the amount to 518-670-4334 or download the My Church website giving app. Find our church by searching our zip code 12303, then create an account. No gift is too small, and we really appreciate all that you give. God bless you.